Morning. Let's turn our Bibles to Psalm chapter 18. Psalm 18, verse 1 through 19. Psalm 18, 1 through 19. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my rock in whom I take refuge. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. The cords of death encompassed me, and the torrents of ungodliness terrified me. The cords of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God for help. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry for help before him came into his ears. Then the earth shook and quaked, and the foundation of the mountains were trembling and were shaken because he was angry. Smoke went up out of his nostrils, and fire from his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down with thick darkness under his feet. He rode upon a cherub and flew, and he sped upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his hiding place, his canopy around him. Darkness of waters, thick clouds of the skies from the brightness before him passed his thick clouds. Hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens. And the Most High uttered his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. He sent out his arrows and scattered them, and lightning flashes in abundance and routed them. Then the channels of water appeared, and the foundations of the world were laid bare at your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils. He sent from on high. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Let's pray together. God, thank you for this morning. We thank you that we can come before you this morning to be in your presence, to read your word, and to pray together. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would take us deeper into your heart and understanding of who you are, and we are so thankful that we can come before you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. This morning I wanted to talk about God's delight over us. We ended this verse with, he brought me forth also into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. God delights in you, and God delights in me. And I want us this morning to allow this to sink into our hearts, that we would understand and know in our hearts that God is delighted over us, that he delights in you and me. So in today's passage, we begin with David saying, I love you, O Lord, my strength. I love you, O Lord, my strength. You know, I think I've read through the Old Testament up to this part, this whole year, and I can't think of very many places before this part where an Old Testament figure responds to God in love. You know, God commands in Deuteronomy, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. The command is there, but I can't really think of anywhere where, you know, Moses or someone else just comes to God and says, God, I love you. You know, it really isn't until King David that I see, you know, this response of love and this response of worship. And no, worship is definitely there, but this response of intimate love, you know. And David is really the only one through the Psalms with all the poetry just responding to God in love, saying, God, I love you. You know, and you can really see this response from David. But I think it's because he understood. Because if you read through Psalms, David really, really understood God's love for him. He understood God's delight for him. So in response to that, he's able to say to God, God, I love you. You are my strength. I love you. Because it's a command from the Bible, right? God says, love the Lord your God. But if you look at, I mean, right before Psalm is the book of Job. And Job, if you read through, even at the very, very end where Job replies to God, says, God, I am so humbled because you came and you revealed your glory. My question was, I wonder if Job loves God or if he just fears God and he's just responding out of humility because God just revealed his glory. You know, but there isn't much about Job saying, God, I love you. You know, maybe it's hard for Job to say that because he went through so much trouble. But when you come to David, he starts responding to God. The way he interacts with God is one of love, you know, one of like intimacy. And so David says, I love you, Lord, you're my strength. And I believe that it's because he understands God's delight in him. As we see in verse 19 of Psalm, we're looking at Psalm chapter 18, verse 1 through 19. And in 19 it says, he rescued me because he delighted in me. God delighted in him. If you read through verse 6 through 15, in verse 6, David says, in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried to my God for help. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry for help before him came into his ears. And it seems so dramatic from verse 7 to verse 15. It's this dramatic, again, you have to understand, this is poetry, right? So David is drawing all these mental pictures and imagery to talk about how God responds to David's cry for help. If you read a little bit, the earth shook. So after God hears David's cry, it says, the earth shook and quaked. The foundations of the mountains were trembling and were shaken because he was angry. Smoke went up out of his nostrils and fire from his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. So David is crying out for help to God. That help comes into his ears and it says he became angry. God became angry because the one that he delighted in was in trouble. These people, these enemies were gathering around David and were causing trouble. So when David's cry goes before God, you can see God is angry. And this is David, you gotta remember, this is David writing about how God responds to his own cry. And the revelation that God gave him was that God was angry. That the mountains were quaking because of God's passionate anger and what David had to go through. Smoke was coming out of his nostrils. Fire came out of his mouth. I think it's amazing. You know, I think about, in our house church, we were discussing one time, and one of the sisters in our house church was sharing how difficult sometimes her boss is to her. So she was recounting her story of how the boss, you know, called her into the office one day and just gave all these ridiculous and outrageous, like, requests and remarks, and how it affected her and it upset her. And her husband was right there listening to this. And her husband was so angry, you know, just listening to what his wife had to endure and the kind of the complaint that she gave. He was listening and he was there and he was getting angry. You know, he was like, man, if I had been there, I would have let her know. Like, I would have put her in her place. And you can see him getting angry at what his wife is going through. I mean, I kind of think about it in this way. David, the beloved son of God, like the one that God delights in, is going through trouble and he's making his cry before the Lord. And God is sitting there, and you can see that he is angry, and he responds. I mean, if you read along, it's just kind of crazy. I think it's a little overdramatic. I read that, and I go, David's so dramatic. Like, he's such a drama queen in some sense, you know? Like, he's talking about God is, you know, his thick canopy and the dark waters and the thick clouds of God is coming down, all for himself. Like, he's saying, I cried out to God, and this is how God responded. Thick clouds, you know, God tore open the heavens and he came down in his thick clouds and God was angry, smoke was coming out of his nostril, all because of me, all because I cried out to God and he became angry at what I was going through and he responded in this way. And so, But it all comes down to verse 19, you know? God rescued me. He did all this because he delighted in me. Because God delights in who I am, God responds to my cry for help in this dramatic way. And so we have to remember, this is divine revelation and inspiration, right? David's writing this under the divine inspiration of God. But this is also poetry. So it's not meant to be understood literally. It's not like this is exactly what happens. Like when we cry out to God for help, smoke comes out of his nostril and fire comes out of his mouth. That's not the literal understanding, because this is poetry. David's writing in metaphors and imagery. But what we see is the passion of God. You know, what we see is that God is passionate. When David, his beloved son, beloved child, the one that he delights over, when he cries out to God for help, God responds in a passionate way. You know, God is not indifferent to what David's going through. God is not sitting there aloof, like, okay, you know, you're crying out for help or whatever. God is responding in passion, and he comes down to give deliverance and rescue to the one that he delights in. So what I want us to understand is that God loves us passionately. You know, God's delight over us is not just, you know, like, oh yeah, you know, he loves us like we love food or kimchi or whatever, you know. We love different things, but God's love for us is passionate. You got to understand this. And I want to look at, if we have time, we'll look at two passages. If we don't, we'll look at one. Isaiah 62. Isaiah 62, verse 4 through 5. This is one of my favorite passages in the Bible. Isaiah 62, verse 4 through 5. So just a quick overview of Isaiah. Isaiah is a prophecy, right? God is speaking to the people of Israel, but much of Isaiah is judgment. You know, it's Israel is not doing very well at this time. And so God is bringing judgment and saying, Israel, you need to turn back. You're sinning right now, and judgment is going to come, and this is going to happen, and that's going to happen, and all these things, all this calamity is going to come upon you if you don't turn away. So in the midst of all this kind of prophetic prophecy about God's judgment coming, Isaiah 62, verse 4 through 5 says this, "It will no longer be said to you, forsaken, nor your land will it any longer be said desolate, but you will be called, my delight is in her, and your land married. For the Lord delights in you, and to him your land will be married. For as a young man marries a virgin, so your sons will marry you, and as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so your God will rejoice over you." I think it's so profound, you know. God, even when Israel is living in sin, turning away from him, God's heart for them is, no, what's going to happen is your name is going to be changed. Because forsaken is going to happen. Being desolate, being forsaken, that's going to come as a result of their sin. But God's saying, but later on, things are going to change, and you will be called, my delight is in her, and your land is going to be called married, because the Lord delights in you, and your land is going to be married to him. And then verse 5, this is my favorite verse. "For as a young man marries a virgin, so your sons will marry you, and as a bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so your God will rejoice over you." On a side note, this is my favorite verse because there was a period of my life where I used to wonder, you know, because as a young single person, you wonder, right? You think about marriage and is God going to bring the right person? And sometimes it's growing up in the church, you have this idea that love is, it's all about commitment, you know? And I was a little bit worried that maybe God will place someone in my life that I don't really like, that I'm not really into. You know what I mean? But God says commit, you know? Love is commitment and just a decision, you know? And at church, sometimes pastors will say this, you know, anybody, any guy and any girl that loves the Lord should be able to come together and be married and live happily ever after. So you're like, that's probably true, right? I mean, we love Christ and we're committed. So I was all worried about this, and God gave me this passage and said, no, you are meant to, a young bridegroom is meant to have this rejoicing and this delight over his bride, you know? And so I came, my heart came to rest, and I said, no, I don't think God wants to just bring me somebody that I don't really delight over, and he just expects us to be married and committed, you know? I think the way God's designed marriage, I mean, God's saying this, as a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, you know, he expects me to rejoice over my bride. So I was able to kind of come to my senses, and I don't know, this brought a lot of comfort to me. But it's incredible. It says, as a young bridegroom, as a young man marries a virgin, as a bridegroom rejoices over the bride, it's not, you know, I like that it's a bridegroom. You know, it's not someone that's been married for a long time, because if you've been married for a long time, maybe there is less delight and rejoicing. But for a bridegroom that's just about to get married to his bride, his heart is filled with joy. His heart is filled with passion, right? I love watching wedding videos. As I prepare for my wedding, we've been looking at a lot of different video companies. So we watch a lot of sample wedding videos. And every single one of them is so moving, you know? The bridegroom's there, and he's making his speech, and he's saying, this is the happiest day of my life, you know? And they always play the vow that they make, you know? And it's just so moving. You can see, wow, there's so much love and so much delight, so much passion in the heart of the bridegroom over the bride on their wedding day. And this is God saying, that's the way I rejoice over you. That's the way I delight over you. That's the way that I love you. So we need to let this truth sink into our hearts. The other passage I wanted to look at is in Song of Solomon's, but we don't have to go there. But you might have heard this passage. It says, basically it says, God is saying to his people, you have made my heart beat faster with one glance of your eyes. When you looked at me with one glance of your eyes, you made my heart beat faster. You know, he gets excited when we turn to him, when we give him one glance of our eyes. So again, this thing of passion and God's delight over us is something that I want us to remember and maybe receive this morning. And, you know, the application, where does this leave us, you know? Knowing and receiving that God delights over us, because we've heard this many times, where does this leave us? And for me, I think first is we are confident before God. We can come before God with confidence. Come before God with confidence. Approach his throne with confidence. Because he's not up there mad or sad. But he is glad, you know, that we are here and that we come before him. He's not disappointed in us. So we have confidence before God. Secondly, I think we are also humbled, knowing that it is not by our works, knowing that it is not because we deserve him to delight over us, but it's because of his grace and because of his character. He is a loving God whose loving kindness endures forever. So it is because of who he is that he is delighted over us. So I think it humbles us. You know, it's not, we shouldn't read this and be like, yeah, you know, be so prideful, like God delights over me. But the response is, man, I'm so humble that I don't deserve this, but God says I delight over you. And the third one I was thinking is we should, if we understand that God delights over us, over me, then it should propel us to tell people about God. You know, I was just walking down from my place to church and looking at all these people, and I was meditating upon this passage and thinking, God delights over me. But what's true is God delights over everybody. God delights over the people that I pass by in the morning. And I was thinking, man, we really need to share this message of God's delight over his people with the people around us. You know, so many people don't know this, and they go about their day, their lives, not really knowing God, not really receiving and understanding and experiencing this delight that God has for them, or that is available to them, you know, if they put their faith in Jesus Christ. So, you know, I was thinking, man, we gotta treat people with love and help them also experience this delight. So that's the response to that. So let's go before the Lord, and I think Jeff is gonna come lead us in a time of worship. So Holy Spirit, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for David and the Psalms that he wrote, God, and just the love, the intimacy that we see between him and you, Lord, that it wasn't just about the fear of God. It wasn't just about, you know, the transcendence of God in the Old Testament. But God, we see in David, God, such intimacy with you, Lord, such delight in who you are and your delight in him. So we thank you for that interaction. And I pray, God, that we will be able to be like David, God, to have this intimate relationship with you as well. And this morning, as we come before you, I pray, Lord, that we will be able to hear from you, God, and experience your delight over us, your passionate love over us, God, your rejoicing over us, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we will not think of this as such a, you know, basic thing of Christianity and just look it over, but God, that this truth will really sink into our hearts and that it will really transform us, Lord. Transform us from the inside, God, knowing that we are your beloved children, beloved bride. So God, I thank you. Speak to us in this time of singing and worship, and help us to pray to you in Jesus' name.
Restless. rest in you, O God. Still my heart, hold me close, let me hear a still small voice, let it grow, let it rise into a shout, into a cry, let my heart hold me close, let me hear a still small. And I am restless, I'm restless, till I rest in you, till I rest in you. And I am restless, I'm restless, till I rest in you, till I rest.
Father God, thank you, Lord. Help us to hear your still small voice in our hearts. Your still small voice of love, God. Your still small voice of your delight. God, calling us your beloved. Yes, God, that you are not indifferent when we call out to you, God, but that you respond with passion, God. You respond with passionate love, that you come to our rescue, Lord. Thank you, God. Let's pray for our community together. You know, let's be the way David cried out to the Lord for help and deliverance. Let's do that in behalf of the people on the list, that we would cry out to God on behalf of them, that God would come and rescue, bring his salvation, his deliverance over them. So let's pray for the ones with struggling with cancer and going through chemo, waiting for the transplant. Let's pray with faith that God will move in their lives, bring physical healing. So let's pray together. Thank you. Let's go to our second slide. Pray for illness and salvation. Those of our church family members going through illness, serious illness, but they're not saved. Let's pray that God will reveal His love and His grace, His goodness to them. And let's also pray for healing, that would be a testimony. And I want to just remind everybody once again of Cadence and Rainey's father that we've been praying for. He just did the test after 6 months of treatment. They did the test and there's no more tumors inside of him. So we want to praise God for what He has done. We want to continue to pray that he will come to know Jesus Christ as his Savior. But let's also pray for the ones on the list as well, that God will bring healing and salvation to them. So let's pray together. To the third slide. And I just want to ask everybody, if you have put something on the list, if you could give us an update from time to time, we appreciate that, so that we can update everybody and the slides as well. If you can see Pastor Colin, we've been praying for Pastor Colin. This is a pastor in New Zealand who was attacked basically on a mission trip. So he suffered from brain injuries. He couldn't even really get up, couldn't remember anything, but he's showing a lot of improvement, but there's still a lot of healing that needs to happen. But he's able to walk around and he's able to communicate, and he remembers things from the past. So he is recovering, but there's a lot more that needs to come. So please continue to pray for Pastor Colin, and let's pray for the people on the list, different infirmities that they're struggling with. Let's pray for God's healing to come upon them. So let's pray together. Go to slide number 4. Let's pray for our brothers and sisters looking for a job still. Let's pray for God's favor and God's blessing and leadership and direction over them. Again, I want to remind and give a praise report for Mark Starnes. He was able to find a job, so he'll be moving to Seattle. So praise God for providing for them. And let's continue to pray for the ones on the list. go to our Wednesday prayer focus. Let's pray for Cambodia. Pray for Grace and Ashley and Bloom. Pray for our mission trip coming up June 29th. Let's pray for the team that's going there. Pray for Pastor O that is working hard in Cambodia to bring the gospel to that nation. And pray for Pastor Tang, who is the one that Pastor O partners with in Cambodia. And our worship team will be going to New Life Church to do a worship conference this year as well. So let's pray for Cambodia, and let's pray for this nation that God would bring His love and His the gospel would be in that land. So let's pray for Cambodia. Pray for the board. Pray for Pastor Sam. Pray for Lisa. Pray for Hyde, Janie, Tom, Kiwan, Brian, Mon. And as you pray for the board, please pray for Pastor Sam. He's still feeling quite sick, so let's pray for healing. And if you could also just pray for the rest of the staff, actually. Pastor Sophia is sick. Pastor Eugene is very sick. This whole week he's been quarantined, and Pastor Salamat is also feeling quite sick. I'm just coming out of my cold, and you know, the women's retreat is coming up, so Pastor Sophia and Pete Carroll really need to be strong, so please pray for the staff as well. So pray for the board and for the health of the staff. Let's pray together. Pray for men and women's ministries. Pray for the women's retreat coming up this weekend, and pray for the men's ministry as well, as this Sunday they're going to discuss more about what we're going to do throughout the rest of the year to really be godly men. So let's pray for both ministries, and pray for God's grace for the retreat. Let's pray together. For SP 2.0, where God wants to take us next for our new building, and let's pray for the donor that God has promised, and let's pray that our church will be ready. And wherever God wants to take us, let's pray that our church would be ready to step into what God is desiring to do with our church. So let's pray for that. Let's pray together. Thank you. pray for our house church's meeting tonight. Let's pray that they'll have an amazing time. Pray for God's presence to be there. Pray for the leaders. Let's pray that it'll be really a good time of house church. Let's pray. Father God, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your delight in us as your children. And I pray that we would be able to live knowing your delight over us, God. So help us, Lord, to walk in this truth today. I thank you that you are so pleased with your children. And this day, as we go through our day, I pray that you would help us, Lord, help us to remember this truth, God, and help us to always think of you. I thank you that you go with us, God, wherever we go, whether it's to work or to our family, back home. I pray, Lord, that we would be able to please you and bring joy to your heart through everything that we do, God. And thank you that you are with us. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bless you guys. Have a great day today, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.